on today's Compassion Radio.
He goes on, and then he says, "Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be then, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, beneficent creator and ruler of the universe."
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, and welcome on in to Compassion Radio. So grateful and blessed to have you along with us today. Quick note right off the top, we know that so many of you listen to your favorite programs in so many different ways anymore, via radio, podcast, iTunes, and the like. Well, we do post our programs each day right to our website at CompassionRadio.com. Simply click the broadcast tab right there on the home page. Very easy to access. Well, let's jump back in now to day two of Bram Florio's conversation with prolific writer and ministry partner Hope Flinchbaugh, who has some more firsthand insight to the church in China.
Friends, welcome back to Compassion Radio. In the last program, we began a wonderful conversation with a friend of ours, Hope Flinchbaugh. Hope, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. I'm glad to be here.
And on the last program, we did kind of a survey of some of the issues that the Eastern Church, specifically in China, is facing. And of course, God has moved them into a great missions movement. They're already doing incredible work in North Korea because of their penetration and reception of all the suffering that's coming out of North Korea. They're making a tremendous difference there. We just touched on that briefly. And then we touched on the things that have changed in the past couple of decades, the incredible change that God has helped to foment within the church and within the culture at large. We talked about the one-child policy finally being abolished. What else is happening in China that you've noticed has changed since the time that you began the series of Daughter of China books in the year 2000?
Well, I would say one of the things that have changed to some degree is the persecution of Christians. The reports, of course, come out that there are areas such as Guangdong where persecution is tightening on the unregistered house churches. And other areas, I know with the cross, it's actually increasing. The Chinese government has basically put out a campaign to remove crosses from churches. And these, believe it or not, are like the three self-churches that are registered, that did have permission to put the crosses up, that did have permission to have a large congregation. This year in May, New York Times reported on this. So it's going on, you know, it's going on right now. And I would say that's definitely a change, because before, it was only the house churches that really got into a lot of trouble. But I know that the president of China has basically put out a campaign to limit the crosses, and really a tighter control of society is favored by President Xi Jinping, and he would like to just sort of control and regulate all religious spiritual life in China.
Let's speculate on that one a little bit here, because I understand that he, along with many of the Chinese elite, have had advanced education here in the States. They've seen our culture. They've seen what freedom of speech and religion does in a society. Why do you think, for someone who's been exposed to it, has seen how things can prosper in nations that have freedom of expression, why do you think it's affecting his decision to go exactly the opposite direction at this time in history?
No, we're speculating, Bram, okay?
But
I would speculate the power of the gospel. You know, as Christians, again, you know, we have freedoms here that sometimes we don't realize what a blessing we have. And really, we don't realize how empowered we are to share our freedom. And it's not just the freedom, though. It's the power of the gospel.
Right.
And there's a power in the gospel that cannot be snatched by anything else. And I am also, I think that it's probably that Satan really would like to shut down Christianity in China. And the first place he'll move to is the leadership in China to do so. So, you know, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. We wrestle principalities and forces of darkness that are high. And, you know, think about Daniel and what Daniel went through. Here he is. He's captured in Babylon. God puts him in a high government position, not once, not twice, I think three times. He went through three different leadership changes, and he's still leading. He's still revered as a man of God. And Daniel prays and fasts for his nation, and an angel shows up, and he says, you know, the prince of Persia detained me. You know, I heard your prayer. God heard your prayer at first when he sent me here, but the prince of Persia detained me. And if you intercede at all, you probably read this story. And if you read that story in Daniel, I mean, it's fascinating, you know, that he fasted and prayed. The answer was sent right away. 21 days later, you know, the angel shows up. So I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of warfare over that nation, and has been for years.
And, of course, we would say that we're in the middle of a season where it seemed like our nation itself was getting assaulted in many ways. And so it is fair to say that every nation, whether it's from a Western freer tradition or from an Eastern tradition where there's more control by state, that every authority or people who are in authority are also under assault from spiritual principalities and powers. So whether they're freely elected or put in place by a closed government hierarchy and politburos of the Eastern juggernauts, but you've got these nations where they're still people and they're still making decisions. And we have to acknowledge the fact that people in positions of authority are under assault spiritually. Do you think it's effective then, Hope, to be praying for the leaders of China?
Yes. And, you know, we're commanded to pray for our government leaders. Whatever nation we reside in, we should be praying for our leaders. And that's, you know, a responsibility that God gives us in his word. You know, that we are to pray for government leaders. We're to pray for leaders and all who are in authority. You know, they do take the first hit. That includes the family, the dad, you know, the father, the husband, praying for those who are in realms of authority in the church, in government.
I think the challenge is on us as thinking and praying believers. In fact, my pastor, I'll give you a little side story here, just had kind of a mea culpa with our church last Sunday, confessing to us that he really hadn't spent time praying for our leaders, that he was so disgusted with the race to the bottom that we've been in the United States with our electoral process, that he's just not encouraged. But then God was reminding him, when was the last time you prayed before you complained? And he was reminding us that whatever we choose in a nation where we can choose, we still have a responsibility to pray for those we've chosen. And then, of course, in the case of China, people don't choose those leaders because the system is not built for their open choice. Nonetheless, they're still in authority. So they're called to pray for their leaders. Perhaps we ought to cross-pollinate this a bit and be praying for all of the world's leaders, that God would do his work and work his plan through all the nations of the earth, and specifically through his people. I'm not sure what we would recommend specifically to do about that, but I am kind of laying that on the table for you. You might have some comments on this. How do we effectively pray for these leaders?
I love prayer. Prayer is what I like to do in my free time. I've just seen the Lord move mountains through prayer. So it's something I like to talk about. So Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings and utterings too deep for words. It also says that he searches the heart. He searches the heart of the Father. He is one with the Father. He knows what is in the Father's heart, and he is well able to communicate that to us. We're in prayer. That is the place, I believe, that the Holy Spirit loves to communicate to his people how to pray.
We trust you're enjoying today's chat between Bram Floria and special guest Hope Flinchbaugh on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to that discussion after this quick word from Bram alongside Dr. Norm Nelson.
If we need to go afraid, we still need to go. And there's plenty of places in this world that require courage to go. That's where faith comes in, and our Compassion Radio partners like you make it possible through their faith in action. Compassion Radio has active projects all around the world. This month, we focus on the needs of Christian believers in China. The Christian church in China is under unprecedented attack by the communist government. So, what's our response? Well, when the Chinese church begs for more Bibles to replace the ones lost to their oppressive government, can we rightly tell them no? Of course not. And here's how we're helping Chinese Christians to hold onto hope. Compassion Radio's God's Word for China campaign. We're challenging our partners to give generously to bring the Word of God back to China.
A new well-made Bible placed into the hands of an excited, expectant believer costs only $6. So your gift of $30 can provide 5 Bibles. $60 can provide 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 brand new Bibles for Christian believers, and so on.
If God is moving in your heart to give and to pray, don't turn away from that. Don't assume that you have tomorrow or the next day or the next month to respond. Give generously, and send a message that Christians in America stand by their brothers and sisters in Christ and that we care about them. My friend, give and pray. You will help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe even more important than that, you can know that the living Christ will be pleased at what you have done.
We cannot go and pray and dream and do without you. Please stand with us this month as we reach out and work with God's world changers. The number to call with your gift is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. If you missed any part of today's program or would like to share a link with a friend, just click the Today's Broadcast link on our homepage.
That's a good plan. Thanks, Bram. In fact, we have many, many programs archived there on our website, so pop on over and check it out when you get a free minute. Let's get you back now to Bram and guest Hope Flinchbaugh on Compassion Radio.
We're in prayer. That is the place I believe that the Holy Spirit loves to communicate to His people how to pray. And I think of, if you want a visual picture, I know Revelation has talked about bowls of prayer. That there are places, you know, that it's almost like throwing your prayer request into the bowl. One of my favorite things to pray is, oh God, the people who have prayed before for an awakening or revival in our nation, for example. I'll say, oh God, stir up the prayers of John Wesley, of Charles Wesley. Stir up the prayers of Charles Finney. Oh God, grab the prayers of these men and women of God who have been so, Catherine Booth, I mean, stir up the prayers and the songs of that couple who really won their nation for Christ.
Yeah.
And Lord, bring it again, bring it again. We need more, Lord. We need it today in our time and in our hour. So that's one of the things that I love to pray. And I found it very effective, especially if you can get together with a few other believers.
I think about reaching across history, just the power of the prayers of some of our founding fathers, and even going back to Puritan times, the things that are in print for us that we read afresh that just inspire us about appealing to a God who is full of bounty and graciousness and goodness, and appealing to His goodness to continue, and that He would establish a holy priesthood, a nation of believers that would in turn bless the nations around them or the nations they're in. You know, we're not a Christian nation as far as I'm concerned. We're a bunch of Christians that we've talked to right now that are within a nation. And this nation is blessed because those of us who are willing to, with graciousness and with passion, pursue their God and bless others because of it. And our nation benefits from that. But our nation is not the one that worships, the people worship. And we are part of a kingdom that will outlast even this nation. Now, the same thing is true with the Christian church around the world. They're embedded deeply in nations that will rise and fall, but the kingdom remains forever. So the prayers, I believe, carry across time and space. And because those ones that have gone before us, that legacy of prayer and faithfulness we have in our rich tradition of pastors and preachers across the hundreds of years of American history, those prayers have power now. So I think it's great that you would say, God, empower those prayers that have been prayed before us and make them real and powerful today.
Amen. That's very good. That's very good. You know, you were mentioning prayers of history, and I think of the prayers, just the Thanksgiving proclamation.
Yes.
That was written and announced by President Abraham Lincoln. If I may read a little bit of that,
please do.
I would love
to do
that.
We're facing that season right now, just a few days away, so let's get our hearts and minds in that frame of reference.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, this is a proclamation by the President of the United States of America, 1864. It has pleased Almighty God, said Abraham Lincoln, to prolong our national life another year, defending us with His guardian care against unfriendly designs from abroad, of safing us in his mercy, any and signal victories over the enemy, who is of our own household. It has also pleased our Heavenly Father to favor as well our citizens in their homes as our soldiers in their camps, and our sailors on the rivers and seas with unusual health, largely augmented our free population by emancipation and by immigration, while he has opened to us new sources of wealth and has crowned the labor of our working men in every department of industry with abundant rewards. Moreover, he, God, has pleased, animate and inspire our minds and hearts with fortitude, courage, resolution for the great trial of civil war. And, of course, he goes on and then he says, now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens wherever they may be then as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, beneficent creator and ruler of the universe.
How wonderful it is to hear our leaders be able to speak with passion to a personal God. I hope we would raise many more leaders like that because we have to choose them. I also believe that this kind of passionate prayer on behalf of a nation is probably happening throughout all that house church movement in China as they praise God for how he has brought his bounty to them. So if you could imagine, Hope, a Thanksgiving proclamation from your friends, the believers in China that you've personally met, what kind of prayer praise do you think they would be offering God?
Well, I know that when they're asked, what do you need? What do you need? They always say prayer. As far as Thanksgiving, oh, they thank him for who he is. I mean, I've had the privilege of being in their seminaries, some of the underground seminaries. The students are very young, very
young.
They
seem that way to us, don't they?
Right. Well, actually, some of the seminary students are young because they're out of the public school system when they're out of eighth grade. So they really are. Some of them are very young. They're still teenagers, young teenagers when they're in seminary, and they want to go preach the gospel, and they do. So anyway, the Thanksgiving, it's hard for me to imagine, to be honest with you. And I know that when I was in a seminary, an underground seminary, to talk to all of them about the saints today laying down their lives for Jesus Christ, I wanted to tell them stories to strengthen them and encourage their hearts that they're not alone in China.
Yes.
There are other people around the world who are also laying down their lives. It was a wonderful thing to talk about with them because they're about to go out on a journey where they have to take up their cross and follow him.
And many of them are taking up their cross to march west along the Silk Road. I understand that.
That's right.
We now have outposts of the church all the way heading back toward Jerusalem. That Back to Jerusalem movement is something
we've
covered a lot on this program. I'm glad you were there for them as they're ready to launch.
Exactly. When I was about to speak on that, I opened up the Bible, of course, to the Hall of Faith, which I guess is Hebrews 11. And I said, let's turn here and let's read this together. And those students stood up on their feet and they read it with such conviction. I've never heard the Word of God read like that. I mean, they read it almost like they were carrying guns. You know what I mean? It came out, pa-pow, pa-pow, pa-pow.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. Oh, my, the joy on their hearts. And I told them, I said, that was outstanding reading. And, of course, their prayers, they weep and they cry or they laugh and they touch heaven and,
yes,
and they pray for their people. Yes.
We have much to learn from our brothers and sisters who are even now laying down their lives along the river on the border of North Korea or along the Silk Road back through Tibetan territory and along the Silk Road past Kazakhstan and into the other stands along the way to Turkey. They're all over out there now. And those young people you talked about are the next wave of God's mighty move. I'm sure of that. And I'm glad that you had a chance to mix it up with them and to encourage them and to speak into them over the years, Hope. And I'm so glad that you're a friend of ours and can tell us these kind of stories. Friends, if you haven't had a chance to read Hope's work, that whole Daughter of China series is available on Amazon. I encourage you to go find a copy of that, even for Christmas this year. And think about ways that you could ask yourself the important questions that these kids are asking now. What am I willing to do to lay down my life for Christ? What cross am I willing to pick up? Where am I willing to follow Christ, even if it's right here in our own culture? Are we willing to count our life as nothing but loss compared to what he's calling us to? It's a fair question, and something we have to tackle as a Western church day by day. But Hope, again, thank you for joining us today in Compassion Radio. Hope we have many more chances to do this very thing.
Thank you, Graham.
Music from Morning Song, God is in Control, a song originally written and performed by artist Twyla Paris.
As we wind things down for today, let us turn again to the sage wisdom and counsel of our former president and host, Norm Nelson.
This is Dr. Norm Nelson, and I've got a personal word for you. What exactly is Compassion Radio? Well, you know, I love to answer that question. Compassion Radio is, of course, a thoroughly Christian radio program. But it's also more than a radio program. It is a ministry, a boots-on-the-ground ministry. That is, it serves the spiritual and material needs of people. In carrying out its ministry, it seeks to be obedient to the call of Christ to share His gospel and His compassion with the neediest people in the toughest places on earth. Our travels take us to places like Afghanistan, Burma, Bangladesh, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Darfur in Sudan. These are the places to which God sends us here at Compassion Radio. And they are the places where your gifts to our compassion projects make such an incredible difference for the cause of Christ. We know that the living Christ Himself is in these places, going before us. His heart is always with the poor, always with the needy, always with the spiritually hungry. My friend, right now, as we approach year's end, we need your financial support. But you know, we depend 100% on listeners like you to carry out our calling. And in a very real sense, this is your ministry. Whatever is done through Compassion Radio is what you make possible. I'm asking you, send your best gift today. It is tax deductible, and Compassion Radio is a member in good standing of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's important because that certification is your guarantee that we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. Thanks so much, my friend, for standing with us here at Compassion Radio.
Friends, together we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. For decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? One, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And two, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. As we together step into the season of thanks and giving, again, we want to thank you for how you continue to partner with God and Compassion Radio. If it has been a while, would you join us again here in November? A hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. And November is always the month when we kick off this incredible outreach. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We'll send absolutely as many of these Bibles as we can this year as you enable us to. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. We have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China. One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.